Good afternoon and welcome to Pleasing God, the Bible study program heard on this station Monday through Friday for 15 minutes starting at noon. We concentrate on important Bible topics and answer religious questions from the Word of God. I'm Mark J. Ward and want to thank you personally for being a regular listener to our program and ask you to please tell others about the program. You can go to our teaching website at markjward.com, scroll down to the questions area, and send me your Bible questions to be answered on the air in the future, or leave me comments that you might have about this program. Also, look for the Antique Radio at the same site, and you'll be able to see all past episodes of this program to review and study as you like. We will be back in Matthew, the 23rd chapter again, where Jesus is giving people an opportunity to please God. He's just not mad at people and getting on to them. He's giving people an opportunity. This is a rebuke, no doubt, I agree. But the purpose of the rebuke is important, not just the rebuke itself. But the fact of the matter is Jesus cares about everybody. And when he would look out on a multitude, many times in the New Testament during his personal ministry, it's recorded that he would look out and he would see people as sheep without a shepherd, meaning they weren't pleasing God. They weren't being guided properly. They were not following the true and living God. Not their way now, but God's way. And Jesus is trying to snap them to attention, to wake them up out of their slumber or sleep. The devil has control of these people, but the people are the ones that are at fault. The people can change. You and I can change today. Are we in some kind of spiritual sleep? You may say, Mark, I'm listening to this program every day. I go to church every Sunday. I tithe every year. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of effort. We have children in our family. We get them up. We get them ready to go. We go to services. We do what we can. That is fantastic from the standpoint of your heart and your desire to please God. The point is, we need to realize that there's an A and B side to the combination of making this actually pleasing to God. John 4:24 says, God is spirit, and they that worship him, and I'll just say in order to be pleasing to him, which is understood, it's not stated specifically. But God is spirit, and they that worship him are to worship him in spirit and in truth. This is not the Holy Spirit and the spirit portion. This is from our spirit, from our heart, our sincerity. That's what was lacking in Matthew 23 concerning many of these scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites. Some of them were doing the outward form of the law of Moses so that they were following truth. Some were not. But Jesus got onto them in part because of their inward. Their spirit was wrong. They weren't earnestly doing these things for God. They were doing them to be seen of men, as we were reading in the first part of Matthew, the 23rd chapter. They were having titles in order to be exalted up and lifted above the people, or have seats that were special for these particular individuals. And they were seeking the praise of men, or to please men, rather than the praise of God. We need to make sure that if we're in the example of the family where we're talking about just a moment ago in this radio episode, that we not only get up and we do what we can on Sunday and we live through the week, and if there are children in the home, we try to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That we continually check the pattern of our worship and our daily walk with the new covenant. And if the Bible says don't swear, just let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, then affirm if you're asked in a court of law. You swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God. Say, I affirm that I do. In this country, in the United States of America, fortunately, that's permitted. But even if it weren't permitted in this country, we should still not swear or take oaths. Oh, Mark, you're just wrong about that. Well, if you go to James and you start reading about the tongue and you see what Jesus said in Matthew 5, chapters 5, 6, and 7, we're not to swear today. But let's move forward in Matthew the 23rd chapter about these scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites. Down in verse 19, "Fools and blind," Jesus says, "for which is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifies the gift?" He's referring to these now who are mentioned beginning up in verse 16. We'll just back up and read it. "Woe to you blind guides." These are people that are kind of in charge. These are people that are supposed leaders spiritually in that day. "Woe to you blind guides who say, whoever swears by the temple is nothing, but whoever swears by the gold of the temple, he's obliged to perform it. Fools and blind," Jesus says, "for which is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies or sets apart the gold?" The gold is nothing if it's not connected with spiritual service. What if it was the gold of thieves? What if it was the gold of those who were robbers? What if it was the gold of the tax collectors that had taken more than was honorable and proper for them to take from the people at that time? Does that mean that gold is great? You want to swear by that gold or stand by that gold? We're talking about that which delineates between pleasing God and not pleasing God. Jesus goes on to say, "Fools and blind, for which is greater," verse 19, "the gift or the altar that sanctifies the gift? Therefore," here's the conclusion of this little argument, "he who," quote, swears by an oath, which was allowed under the Old Testament. Jesus is living under the Old Testament. Don't confuse that with our new covenant and the instruction in James. "He who swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it." That's talking about God. "And he who swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits on it." Now let's don't be confused. Mark, you're giving me two different things. You're getting me confused now. You're getting me confused. We're supposed to swear by this, and then you're telling me not to swear. Please think with me on this teaching point. It's very important. If you and I do not understand and properly delineate or distinguish three law ages that are given in the Bible, the patriarchal law age, when God gave instruction directly to Adam and Eve, directly to Noah to build an ark. That's not for us. It's written for our learning, Romans 15:4, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope, but that's not ours to obey. Nor was the matter of the Old Testament law of Moses. What do you mean? We can steal and kill and violate the Ten Commandments? We don't follow the Ten Commandments today. We follow the new law that mentions 9 of the 10 in the new law, and it's not a Christian Sabbath, but our day of mandatory worship as Christians is the first day of the week. We can worship on Monday through Saturday as well. Nothing wrong with that. But under the old law, the law of Moses, a different law age, the law of God at the time to the Jews said, the seventh day of the week is the day that you're to keep holy. Exodus 20 and verse 8. And if you look to the penalty for violating it, it could be up to and including the death penalty. We're not under that law. So Jesus is under that law. He hasn't taken that law out of the way, and he's dealing with Jews, and they were allowed to swear. But what does the new law say? Let's go to James 5. To clear this matter up, James 5, verse 12. Again, James 5, verse 12. In the new covenant, for us today. "But above all, my brethren, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no." Why, James, the inspired writer of God, so God's saying this to us, "lest you fall into judgment." We're wrong if we swear today. Oh yeah, we're wrong if we say curse words, and that euphemistically is called swearing. Okay, I'm talking about the taking of oaths in the new covenant. Jesus is talking about the proper way to have oaths, God-approved oaths, in the Old Testament. Well, Mark, Matthew is mark me, Matthew is in the New Testament. Yes, but the parts where Jesus is living is him following the old law. Jesus kept the Passover. Jesus kept Pentecost because he was living sinlessly under the law of Moses, the Mosaical age. And yes, for Jews, it was the law of God at the time. But as the Hebrew writer says, we have a better covenant. Well, let's move on from this swearing business. And if you have a question about this, go to the teaching website, please, at markjward.com. Go down to the questions sections on that first landing page where you'll end up and put in the information you need to ask your question or make a comment. And I thank you for that. So we go on down past swearing and we get into this matter. And I love verse 23. Listen to what Jesus says. Woe unto you. This is Matthew 23, verse 23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin. These are very small herbs or spices. And have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. And Jesus does not stop there. For under the law of Moses that Jesus was living, and he's teaching people how to keep that law, but he's giving some instruction that will be future because he's preparing them for the kingdom of God, the church of the living God, churches of Christ, local congregations. Some were called churches of God, not the denomination that you'll see with that name on a sign today that has a headquarters in Cleveland, Tennessee, and another group will have one in somewhere in Oklahoma, and they'll have creed books that differ, and they teach different things about the Godhead and about women being able to speak in the assembly and a whole church full of people speaking at one time, people claiming to speak in tongues with no interpreter. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 14 when the spiritual gifts were active in the early church for the purposes that God intended. They were orderly. And if someone had something revealed to them that they needed to speak by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the others were to keep silent. And somebody says, well, I just can't. I do that, Mark. I do that today and I can't contain myself. Well, you don't have what's in 1 Corinthians 14 because it could be controlled. It could be controlled. And people today that are saying they have the miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit and they speak in tongues and they will not stop when others are speaking. Well, they will not stop when there's no interpreter. They need to be careful and go back and read so they can properly understand what is involved in that. If we're going to please God now, we're going to have to rightly divide the word of truth. Jesus says, under the old law, they were to tithe. They were to give a tenth of everything. Therefore, the little herbs and the spices were required of them. He didn't say that was foolishness. But he said, you've neglected the weightier matters. We've got to do the big things and the little things in whatever law age we live. I'm glad we don't live under that old law. I'm glad we're not Jews under that law. Continual sacrifices, blood of bulls and goats. We have the precious blood and the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus, who died for the sins of the whole world. Do you really want to please God? Do I really want to please God in heaven above? If so, let's look to the Word and find out what we're to do and do it. Tune in tomorrow as we continue this opportunity to please God, learning for ourselves from the mistakes and learning from the good things of others. Thank you for listening and have a pleasant good day.